Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, the first chapter of the Gospel of John. We'll be reading verses 6 through 8, and then we will skip down to read verses 19 through 28. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, he did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then are you, Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him then, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. But among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. It's the word of the Lord. Dear God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, in Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Who are you? That's the question the special investigative committee from Jerusalem asked John the Baptizer in our gospel reading this morning. Who are you? Word has gone out that there is a fiery preacher out in the wilderness who's calling the whole nation to repent, to turn around, to move in a whole new direction. And amazingly, people have been listening to John. We are told in the other gospel narratives that people flock out to the wilderness down by the River Jordan to hear John the Baptist and to be washed by him in the Jordan River. But not everyone is happy. The leaders in Jerusalem are worried. They believe that John is dangerous, and so they form a special committee to go check him out. Go find out who he is, or better yet, find out who he thinks he is. And so they go and they question him. Who are you? Who gave you permission to be doing the things that you are doing? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? Are you somebody important? Who are you? Who do you think you are? We all, of course, want to be somebody. We want to be someone important, someone to be reckoned with, someone who matters. And so this is John's moment. This is his opportunity to shine. He has the crowds behind him. He is popular. He has the attention of the people in Jerusalem. If John were a celebrity in our own day, if he were a political figure, he would take this moment and seize it. This is the opportunity for him to put himself in the center of things, to affirm that he is somebody. But John doesn't do that. He doesn't use this occasion to point to himself. Instead, he uses the occasion to point away from himself. No, he tells them, I am not Elijah. I am not the Moses-like prophet that everyone has been waiting for, and I am certainly not the Messiah. In fact, in the overall scheme of things, John wants them to know that he is no one important. He is just a messenger. He is just a voice crying in the wilderness. He tells them, in effect, you don't need to know who I am because it's not about me. Everything that I do, the whole purpose that I have, is about someone else. Someone whose shoes I'm not even worthy to untie. It's not about me, but it's about him. If you want to know someone, you need to get to know him. It's a good lesson for us to remember during this season of Advent. It's a good lesson for us to remember at all times, the lesson that John allows us to see this morning. Because Advent is not about us. Indeed, our Christian faith is not about us. We all have this tendency sometimes to place ourselves at the center of everything. We have this tendency to believe that everything is about us, about our happiness, about our contentment, about our blessing, about our church, about our worship service, about our going to heaven. It's all about us. But John the Baptist reminds us this morning that it's not. It's not about us. It's about God and what God is doing in the world. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of his kingdom. It's about the light that breaks into our world, the light that shines in the darkness. It's about that. Everything that we do, every purpose that we have is about him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about pointing to him. It's not about us. Of course, we live in a culture that encourages us to point to ourselves. We live in a culture that encourages us to put ourselves in the center of things. I heard about something the other day called breaking the internet. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. I just heard it last week, breaking the internet. The idea, of course, is to post something on the internet that goes viral and then dominates the social networks like Facebook and Twitter. I only learned that last week because of one of those celebrities, those reality TV celebrities, Kim Kardashian, concocted a scheme to break the internet by posting a nude picture of her backside on the internet. I want you to know that your pastor was not looking at that picture. I just happened to be on the internet. If you go to the internet, you could not help but see the picture of her backside. But it was breaking the internet, and that's the kind of culture and society that we live in. Anything to call attention to ourselves. Anything to let people know that we're still relevant. And so that's the kind of world that we live in. One that calls attention to ourselves. We pastors are like that sometimes. We want to be the center of everything. We want to place ourselves at the center of everything. We want to be able to fix everything and heal everything and save everything. We want to be the light that shines in the darkness. We want everybody to look up to us. But it's not about us. It's about someone else. Congregations are like that sometimes as well. It's easy for congregations to get wrapped up in themselves, to get wrapped up in our own survival, in our own programs, our own worship services. We get wrapped up in ourselves, but it's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of his reign. I was reading the other day a story about a 5-year-old boy. He was chosen to be the ring bearer at his aunt's wedding. It was his job to carry the rings down the aisle and deliver them to the minister at the wedding. But at the wedding rehearsal, the boy was completely out of control. He kept leaping out at people, baring his teeth at them, growling and snarling, chasing the flower girls, completely unruly and out of control. Finally, his mother had enough of it. She went over to him, told him to straighten up, and asked why he was acting so unruly, to which the boy replied, "But Mom, I have to act ferociously because I am the ring bearer." I suppose that if you believe that you are the ring bearer instead of the ring bearer, then your job is to call attention to yourself. But John knew that he was not the ring bearer. He knew that he was not the main attraction. He knew that he was not to call attention to himself, but he was the one who was sent to bear witness. That's what his role was. And that's what our role is as well. We are called to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are familiar with Greek know that the Greek word for witness is the word martoria. It is where we get our English word martyr. And a martyr, of course, is someone who suffers and dies for what they believe in. We, of course, are not necessarily called to suffer and die for our faith, though there are those around the world who have done that and who continue to do that. But we are called to die to ourselves. We are called to die to our agendas and die to our tendency to place ourselves at the center of things. We are called to die to everything that prevents us from being a witness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To die to everything that prevents us from pointing to his light that has come to illuminate our dark, dark world. Every year during the season of Advent, we are reminded that we are to take up John's mission. Every year during Advent, we are reminded that we are called to get the world ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be the voice crying in the wilderness. We are called to be the one who points to the light. We are called to be the people who make straight the way of the Lord. And what it means to make the world ready for the coming of the Lord, what it means to prepare the world for the coming of the Lord during this season of Advent, has nothing to do with decking the halls, has nothing to do with buying presents, has nothing to do with singing Christmas carols, has nothing to do with going on buying sprees. What it means to ready the world for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to ready it for his coming reign. It means that we are called first and foremost to shift the focus of our lives away from ourselves and towards God in God's coming reign. It means placing our entire lives, our resources, our energies, our possessions, our priorities, our relationships. It means placing all of that under the reign of God, because it's not about us. It's not about our happiness. It's not about our warm Christmassy feelings. It's not about our traditions. It's not about what God can do for us. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the coming of the light in this world. And you and I are called to get on board and to bear witness to that light. It's not about us. It's about Him. One of the biggest jobs that us preachers have is to continue to remind our congregations and indeed the world that it's about Him. We are here this morning because it's about Him, not because it's about us. Not because we wanted to have a nice place to worship this morning. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking this week about a story I read a few days ago about a man that kind of reminded me of John the Baptist. His name is Arnold Abbott. And he's a 91-year-old chef. Every week, he prepares a meal at the Sanctuary Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And he takes the meal to the beach there where homeless people congregate. And he feeds them a meal. It's his way of proclaiming the good news. It's his way of being a voice that cries in the wilderness. It's his way of pointing to the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He goes and he prepares a meal, and people come flocking to the beach to partake of that meal. Just like they came flocking to the wilderness to be washed in the Jordan by John the Baptist. But not everyone was happy. Word got to the mayor that there's somebody down at the beach who is feeding the homeless, and people are flocking there, and the beach is not a place for homeless people. The beach is a place for tourists. It's a place where people go to bathe in the sun. They don't want to be inconvenienced by homeless people. And so the police were sent to go question this 91-year-old man. And that's what they said to him. Who are you? Who are you? Who do you think you are? Who are you to be doing this? Who are you to be feeding homeless people on the beach? Who gave you permission to do this? Who are you? And so they ordered him to stop. And of course, they cited him, gave him a citation. $500 citation for breaking the law that said that you could not feed homeless people on the beach. But Mr. Abbott, God bless him, did not stop. He said, I'm a 91-year-old man. What are they going to do to me? Throw me in jail? And what he was saying, in effect, is it's not about me. It's not about me. What I'm doing is not about me. It's about God. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just a witness. I'm just a voice. I'm just a person pointing to the light. I'm just a person pointing to the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's about the reign of Christ. And so everything that I do is about Him. And that's a lesson for us too. Everything that we do, we are called to do for Christ. There's only one person who's ever lived who could rightly say that it's about me. There's only one person who's ever lived who can legitimately say that he is at the center of everything. And that person is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, born in the manger, Jesus, born needing a mother and a father to take care of him, Jesus who had no place to lay his head, that Jesus is the only person who can say, look everybody, it's all about me. Everyone needs to turn their attention to me. History is all about me. It's all about me. But that's not the way he lives his life. He doesn't live his life as a selfish, egotistical, arrogant person that needs to be in the spotlight. But he lives his life completely for God and completely for others. He lives his life completely obedient to God's way of self-giving love, demonstrated by his death on the cross. And it's that way of self-giving love that is the true light that shines into the darkness of our world. And you and I are called to point to that light and to bear witness to that light. The great theologian Karl Barth used to have over his desk one of my favorite paintings. It was a painting by Matthias Grunewald of a crucified Jesus in the center, experiencing and suffering the agony of the cross. And over on the side, a picture of John the Baptist pointing to the Lord. And that's what we are called to do as well. We are called to point to the Lord, point to what he has done for us, point to his great love for each and every one of us, point to the fact that he emptied himself so that we might have eternal life. It's not about us. It's about him. But because it is about him, it has come to be about us. Because he loved us, each and every one of us, so much that he came to die for each and every one of us. And when we bear witness to that truth, when we bear witness to that fact with our own lives, then we do what John the Baptist did. We give testimony to the light that has come to shine in the darkness. May we forever continue to give testimony to that light in the depths of our own heart, in our own communities, and indeed in this dark, dark world as we await the second coming of our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, as we gather together this morning in this third Sunday of Advent, as we approach the day of Christmas, as we gather together with friends and family, as we gather together to worship and to praise you, help us to remember in all that we do that it's not about us, but it's about you. It's about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's about your great love for the world. Help us, Lord, to go out into the world and to proclaim that, to bear witness to that in all that we do. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.